we have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Valentine's Day is upon us in a couple days. It happens to fall on a weekend this year, so it means probably more people going out to eat, all those kind of things that you find difficult to do in the course of a week. And I've been married now for 27 plus years. I'll just put the plus on there to my little insurance policy. And we still celebrate Valentine's Day. There's still romance and love and all those kinds of things. In the Wilkin house now, that's just a holiday manufactured by the card makers, and it has the name of a saint, but it's not really related in any real way to the historic saint. The church actually does remember St. Valentine, but not on St. Valentine's Day, on a different way and for a different reason altogether. What about pop American Christianity? Chris Rosebro joins us to talk about the sex sermons that are planned for the Valentine's Day holiday. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Now, ordinarily, seeker-driven churches in pop American Christianity, they don't want much to do with the historic traditional church calendar. Like right now, we're closing out Epiphany. We're approaching Lent. We'll begin with the celebration leading toward Easter, and that is the regular cycle of the year for the historic church, for the vast majority of Christians in the world. Pop American Christianity doesn't usually observe that except maybe Easter and Christmas. But do they have a church calendar of their own, and if so, of what does it consist?
Yes, the seeker-driven movement, just like the historic church, has a lectionary, and they have a church year. And I think it's interesting, in the course of the time that we've been doing our updates on evangelicalism weekly on your program, we've hit some of the high holy days. We've hit Christmas is, considered the Super Bowl, and it's a big, important marketing opportunity. The Super Bowl is considered, well, another big marketing opportunity. And then when we get to the year, we get into the portion where we've got to deal with romance and kind of the felt needs. And it's funny, after this, after romance, then what's going to happen is that they're going to get into parenting. They might have a sermon series on, after that, that deals with how to manage finances. And then when you get into the summer season, then it's all about preaching through popular movies. And then, then the big kickoff in the fall is going to be the back to school series, and then you've got Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that kind of again. So yeah, they actually do have a lectionary that they follow, but it's a lectionary based upon the felt needs of non-believers.
Now, the world of marketing, and I'm talking here about the people who actually have degrees in it, who have been trained in it, who do it for a living, God bless them, they have learned that sex sells. I mean, that's just a basic tenet of marketing. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's overt. Is it also true? Is this a truism in pop American Christianity as well?
Yes, it absolutely is. In fact, the seeker-driven movement, since it roared onto the scene in the late 90s and the early part of the 21st century, they really made a name for themselves in putting forward these sex sermon series and engaging in what would really be kind of like be on the line or even over the line, what would be considered appropriate in church. And this is something that's been going on really overtly since the seeker-driven church has emerged on the scene. But what's fascinating is that whenever a seeker-driven church does a sermon series, as part of what they're instructed to do when they do this, they have to market it because it's all about drawing a crowd. Well, if you're going to be doing a sermon series on marital intimacy, well, you got to let the world know. So they actually send out press releases. In fact, some of the sermon series you can purchase from some of the bigger seeker-driven mega churches, and included in the with the purchase of the sermon series, you get all of the graphics, you get all of the PowerPoint slides, as well as a template for a press release to alert the media that your church is doing a sex sermon series, because it's all about marketing the church. And so what we're going to be listening to first is the latest example of a seeker-driven church in Katy, Texas, who was able to get a local news agency to kind of bite on their press release and actually give them a couple of minutes on the news there in Houston talking about their latest sex sermon series.
All right, let's talk about sex right now, but in church. While that may sound awkward, it's also filling a lot of seats at one Katy church.
Yeah, Christine Galvan is live in the newsroom with why a local pastor is using a bed as a pulpit. Christine, this is something different.
Yeah, you know, Don and Melinda, we live in a very sexualized world. It is in music and movies. I mean, here we are talking about sex right here on the evening news. So a local pastor decided, since everyone talks about it, it's time the church, or at least his church, did too.
Take a four-post bed, move it inside a church, hand out door tags as advance warning, and let the sermons begin.
And I cannot remember one Sunday sermon where the entire sermon was about sex.
How about six Sunday sermons?
It's kind of awkward, but yeah. we're in church.
Everyone's talking about sex, and so why shouldn't the church be talking about that too?
Newsflash, God invented sex. It's God's idea.
From marriage to shacking up, the pastors at Current Christian Church in Katy are in the middle of a six-part series on sex.
Yeah. You have a children's church, don't you?
We do. We do have children's church, and we've been saying during this series to parents, hey, here's what we're talking about today. Fair warning.
And I'm going to talk about how to talk to your kids about sex.
Where we had our biggest attendance in history of the church, with the exception of last Easter Sunday. So people are responding really well. They want to hear about this, and they want to hear what God has to say about it.
As part of the sex talk, Pastor Darren is also planning a mass wedding. It'll take place right here, right in front of the church on Valentine's Day. Several couples have already signed up, and they've promised to not share a bed until they become man and wife.
We don't want to push people into something or rush them into something, but we said, hey, if you've been living together a while and you've been thinking about this and you're putting it off, or if money's the issue, let's just solve that. We're going to do a wedding, and I will marry you absolutely free. You just come with your license and who you want, and we'll perform the ceremony.
Again, that free ceremony set to start at 2 p.m. Valentine's Day. You do need a valid marriage license, though, and if you're interested in signing up or just listening to the sermons, you can find links with all the information on our website, myfoxhouston.com, as well as all of our social media sites. In the newsroom, Christine Galvan, Fox 26 News.
Well, I have a few thoughts about it, Chris, but I'm interested in what you think about not only the sermon series that they're doing, which seems hardly original, but the way it's marketed.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's marketed as if it's something original. It's marketed as if this is something completely new. And if it, at the beginning of the news report, you know, the lead-in was that this is a church using a bed as a pulpit, and the guy said, well, that's something new. And the reality is that this is nothing new at all. In fact, this is becoming so cliche, it's ridiculous. I've lost count of how many seeker-driven churches over the years, literally over the past decade, who have put a large four-post bed on stage. In fact, there was a church in Ohio a couple years ago. Not only did they have a bed, they actually had a stripper pole. And so, you know, this is not anything that's new, but the seeker-driven churches always have to position themselves in the market as creative, as cutting edge, as being brave enough to break with the traditional churches and do what the traditional churches are too uptight to do, and that is we're going to actually talk about sex. And it's patently absurd. I mean, traditional churches, when a biblical text addresses the topic of sex, you know, the pastors will address the topic. But what these guys are doing is they're literally kind of strip mining God's word to come up with these sermon series in order to find practical applications to make things spicier in the bedroom between you and the missus, because they know that there's a felt need out there in the general culture for people to, you know, kind of figure out how to, you know, enjoy this part of their lives a little bit better, and they're looking for answers. And unfortunately, these seeker-driven churches are you know, by catering to the culture's felt needs, they're oftentimes turning God's word into some kind of a sex manual, and it's not. It's absolutely absurd what they're doing.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've lost count of how many times you and I have talked about the various sex series that various churches have had. Talk a bit about that aspect of it. What I would call the complete copycattery of this kind of stuff, that the average person walking into one of these churches may not be aware that this is all completely pre-planned, canned, and produced off-site by some other church someplace else. It has that kind of cookie-cutter quality to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I've kind of hinted at this going into that first soundbite. But the reality is that there are several major churches out there who sell their sermon series. And there's one in particular, Granger, up in the northern part of Indiana. Not only do they sell, you know, their sermons, you know, they give you, along with the purchase, all of the graphics, all of the PowerPoint slides. All of this, you don't have to think about anything. You don't have to do any sermon prep at all, except for maybe kind of a look ahead of time and see, you know, what the PowerPoint slides are going to do. All of this is designed to be really uber important. And then along with the purchase of the sex sermon series from them, they also give you graphics for billboards, ideas and strategies to how to alert the media. I mean, this is nothing new and creative. If anything, this is really kind of franchise and turnkey-like. And that's the thing about the seeker-driven movement. For all of their claims that they're innovative, cutting-edge, that they're really on the bleeding edge of creativity, nothing could be further from the truth, because these guys aren't actually coming up with these things on their own. That many times they're buying these things prepackaged, and all they've got to do is, you know, give a credit card number and then receive all of the information via the internet and then just deliver the sermons as they've already been prepared. No creativity is needed at all.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the sex-themed sermons for Valentine's Day, so popular in seeker-driven churches. When we come back, we're going to hear from Pastor Lynn Winters of Cornerstone Church in Chandler, Arizona, saying that they will know we are Christians by our sex. Stay tuned.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
an oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're doing our series with him, our weekly series, This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the sex sermons so many seeker-driven churches are going to be doing and hearing on the Valentine's Day weekend. Chris is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, what are we going to hear next? This Pastor Lynn Winters, who are we talking about here, and what should we be listening for?
Well, Pastor Lynn Winters is the teaching pastor at Cornerstone Church in Chandler, Arizona. And he's one of the guys who kind of, you know, was an early adopter with the Sex Sermon Series. And what we're going to be hearing here is his belief as to what role sex plays in the Christian life, and particularly the role that it plays in regard to evangelism. And we'll kind of talk about, after hearing this, how that tells us something about the seeker-driven theology behind this.
I believe all the heart and just turn over to God. I believe that it is the absolute desire of God's heart. You ready for this? That Christians would have better sex than the people that don't know God. That meeting for them. So in other words, I think it would delight the heart of God if people who are still trying to figure out Jesus Christ and still trying to figure out if God is real or not would not just be jealous of our homes and not just jealous of our parenting and not just intrigued at the fact that you and I have peace in our hearts, but I think God would be just thrilled to say, you know what, this amazing, incredible gift which I gave, shouldn't my children be better at this than the people who don't know me? Shouldn't my children understand this in a way, practice this in a way that absolutely is different than the people who haven't figured out God yet? And I honestly believe that it would thrill the heart of God if you and I were better at this than those who don't know God yet. Which is why we're starting off this week saying, hey, best sex ever.
All right, Chris, where do you begin?
Well, let's go with the obvious first here. And, you know, if now one of the signs that Christians are really in league with God is that we have better sex than non-believers, the obvious question comes up, how do we demonstrate this to an unbeliever? I mean, it creates kind of this awkward moment where you realize, wait, really? So, you know, rather than they'll know we are Christians by our love, now they're going to know we're Christians by our love, and the word is not agape, but eros. You know, they're going to know that we're Christians by that. So you got a problem here. And the idea, and this is actually a common theme in American evangelicalism, is that supposedly one of the things that's going to make Christianity attractive to an unbeliever is their theology of the transformed life. So it's all about life transformation. And this is why a few years ago, Rick Warren, when he was on Fox News, you know, actually told Combs from the Hannity and Combs show, Combs isn't with him anymore, but he basically said, listen, give Jesus a 60-day trial. Give him a, go ahead and see if he doesn't make your life better. And so the idea is that Jesus is really all about finding the tips and principles that he's taught that you can apply to your life to make your life better. And that life transformation is supposed to be the thing that's going to draw non-believers to Jesus. And that even applies to your sex life. So supposedly, the way this plays out in their theology is that, you know, you might have some people that are friends of your family in the neighborhood. You guys get together for barbecues. Your kids play together and stuff like that. And your non-believing, neighbor is supposed to say, you know, they have better sex than we do. I wonder why that is. And they're supposed to ask you, why is it that you have better sex than we do? And you're supposed to, the answer is, well, because of Jesus. You know, Jesus has made our sex life better. And that's supposed to be the draw or one of the attractive things about Christianity.
Okay. The other thing that occurred to me as I was listening to that brief bit of his introduction to his sermon was that what happens after, let's say they do a month-long emphasis here, and he's going to talk about how Christians ought to have better sex, can have better sex, whatever he ends up talking about. I get through that, and then my sex life is no better at the end than it was before. And I have to conclude, not only am I a terrible witness, because my sex life isn't any better, and maybe my unbelieving neighbor's is better, and I'm not thrilling the heart of God. I'm not, because it would only thrill the heart of God that his children have better sex than unbelievers, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Now, this is an important point, because if you notice, the focus of all of the seeker-driven church sermons is on stuff that has to do, you could almost say loosely affiliated with the second table of God's law. Second table of God's law deals with how we interact with each other. And first table is how we interact with God. They don't ever really focus on first table. They always focus on something that's somewhat related to second table. And here's the problem: you found it, and that is that, you know, he says, "I believe it would thrill the heart of God if we were better at this, than non-believers." Well, that leads to the obvious question: what if it isn't? Now, is my relationship with God in jeopardy because I don't have this outrageously spectacular sex life? And the logical conclusion, the only thing you can draw from this theology would be, well, of course, your relationship with God has to be in question. You're not doing what's necessary in order to experience life transformation and the abundant life. And that, in their theology, may be reflective of whether or not you actually have a right standing before God. And so, in a very real way, their theology, by highlighting second table of the law as strongly as it does, creates kind of a tacit understanding that our right standing before God is either established or maintained by our keeping of the second table of God's law. And that is nothing more than works righteousness, and that's a completely different religion altogether than biblical Christianity.
Here's another example. It's Mike Cooper of Journey Church in Queens, New York, talking about dating naked.
Well, welcome again to The Journey. So glad you guys are here with us today. And we're kicking off a brand new series called Dating Naked. And yes, that's right. Like, one of the funniest things is working with a staff that's like mostly from down south, you know, like Georgia and, you know, Alabama, those areas. And they don't know how to say it right. They call it dating naked. And that's even worse than saying dating naked, you know. But, you know, we're kicking off this new series. And the whole point, again, is to talk about the new rules for love, sex, and dating. Let's be honest, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to dating. And the hardest thing about this is there's no, like, step-by-step guide on how to be successful in dating. You know, there's no, like, successful how-to guide. You know, if you do this step, take this next step, do this, and then Prince Charming is going to appear right there, and life is going to be good. You know, there's nothing that really says A plus B is going to equal C. And then there's this thing called culture. You know, most of us, if we're honest, we take all of our cues when it comes to dating from culture. You know, we'll see what is mainstream TV saying. We'll see, you know, what are the latest movies saying. We'll listen to the music and say, this is what true love is supposed to look like. I mean, you can't turn on the TV during primetime television and not be bombarded with images of love, sex, and dating. You know, we could go to the movies and there's all these different movies on this is how you find true love, you know, because it's the Valentine's Day season and this is where everybody is in love. And see, there's a lot of different messages out there, but the hardest thing about culture is from time to time, they tend to take God out of the equation. You know, they tend to remove God when it comes to these important topics of love, sex, and dating. And you think about it, the one who created all these things, the one who made all these things, is God. You know, God, his very definition is love. As weird as it might sound to talk about this in church and think about this, God is the one who invented sex. That's just weird, right? But God did. You know, God is the one to help institute the idea of relationships. And so the reason why we're doing this series is we want to invite God to be a part of this important step in our lives. You know, we want to look at what does God have to say about these important topics. Yes, culture might have some different voices, but we want to look and let God be the primary voice when it comes to these important topics of our life.
All right, Chris, what's going on there with about a minute?
Well, first of all, the name of the series is Dating Naked, which is basically a spinoff of the VH1 television program of the same name, and the people on the program definitely are dating naked. So it's strange that he's adopted that as his sermon series title and brought that into the church. But you'll notice the other thing is that his justification for this is that a culture from time to time has a tendency to leave God out of the equation when it comes to dating. Well, like, to which I would say, really, no kidding, I had no idea. But his solution is to invite God into the dating process. But of course, here's the problem. The Bible is not a manual or a how-to book on principles for dating so that you can apply them to your life. We've got a huge problem with his justification for doing this, but also his assumptions for what role the Bible is going to play in addressing this issue.
Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith 1 hour from now at piratechristianradio.com right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc., piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Miriam Grossman talking about how to talk to your children about the movie 50 Shades of Grey. You know, it strikes me as the ultimate and saddest irony that in an attempt to say, as they say, we need to invite God into our dating or into our bedroom, they have essentially replaced Jesus in their preaching with sex. In their attempt to bring God in, they have, in fact, in the name of bringing God in, they have ushered Jesus out. You're going to draw a crowd when you preach about sex. When you preach about the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior, doesn't necessarily draw as big a crowd. That should tell us something, shouldn't it? We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.